It's certainly good to be here tonight, and I've enjoyed the service, the songs, and the Wild West show, and the Spirit of the Lord that I enjoy here tonight. Praise God. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be invited to come and speak to this service tonight. I received a call from Brother Lumpkin asking me to come tonight, and he told me the 13th anniversary. I thought, Brother, you're wrong. It can't be that long. But they tell me that older a person gets, the faster time flies. And so I guess that's what's happening. But I'm certainly glad to be here tonight. And I see many, many friends and some relation. And I'm not one to call names tonight, because if I did, I'd miss someone and they would be disappointed. But I'm glad to see everyone that's here tonight. I am going to say this. My heart rejoiced when I seen Sister Johnson come to this platform to sing. My mind went back to I don't know how many years ago. It must have been 30 years. How long you had the Holy Ghost, Sister Johnson? I couldn't understand. Well, I wasn't for 30 years ago, sometime after midnight, I have prayed Sister Johnson through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And there's others here and that I've helped pray through to the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Paul, I remember getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go baptize you. Praise God. You wouldn't wait till daylight. He wanted me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. The Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. And I want this church to know, along with Brother Keyes, that I certainly appreciate this church and all the things that this church has done for me. Amen. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I told my wife recently, I said, I've got to go to Modesto Church. I've got to go and just thank those people for all of their kindness and their love towards me. And I want you to know I appreciate it tonight. Praise God. As much as I love this church, now I want you to really understand how I'm saying this. As much as I love this church, I've never regretted the day that I decided to step down from pastoring of this church. I'll tell you in a minute the reason why. I'll tell you now. I'm glad for the progress that I've seen in this church. I knew that I turned it into good hands, and that the progress of this church has made me never sorry that I stepped down from pastoring this church. Praise God. I was offered several churches right after I resigned this church. And I said, no, I don't want to pastor. If I'd have wanted to pastor, I would have stayed where I was at, because I had the best church in the district. Praise God. Praise God. And I still believe that tonight. And Brother Keyes, I'm glad to hear that you're going to knock the back wall out. Amen. Praise God. Nothing makes me any more happier than to know that you're going to knock the back wall down. Praise God. I don't know how long it's going to take to fix that. That extension, that balcony, or whatever you call it. But I hope that I live to see the day that that is full like this is right here. Praise God. I believe that the blessings of God is upon the Modesto Pentecostal Church. Praise God. I believe that your pastor is definitely in the will of God. Praise God in leading this church. And I'm so happy for it tonight. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Now, I know that Wednesday night, Friday night, we have church at the Modesto Church. But I also know that Sunday night is revival night at the Modesto Church. It's been that way for years. You could count on every Sunday night being revival night. Praise God. And I'm glad that I'm here tonight. I believe that somebody's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Woo! I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Man, if you can't feel Him tonight, there's something wrong. Praise God, because He's here. And He's wanting to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. When Brother Lumpkin called me, and I started to prepare for this service tonight, I thought of a message that I would speak on, and I thought I had it all fixed. And so I was still praying about this service, and that didn't work. Seemed like God said, no, that's not it. So I prepared another message. So this is surely it. And still praying and seeking God for this service. And no. That wasn't it. Praise God. God works in mysterious ways. I thought, God, what are you doing this to me for? It's hard enough as it is, you know. Then do this to me. But then it seemed like God said, this is what I want you to speak tonight. Praise God. So I wanted my very best for just a few minutes. If you would stand with me tonight. Open your Bible to the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm a slow reader and I got several verses to read. The reason I'm a slow reader, I've got to keep up where I'm reading. Beginning at the first verse. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattenings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way. And one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army and destroyed and murdered and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went unto the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, to the wedding, and the wedding was furnished with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Everybody say a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him in to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. I read this scripture not too awfully long ago, and the thought came to me that, you know, I know a lot of good people, really, really good people, but they're not good enough for heaven. Good people. Really, really good people, but not good enough for heaven. Brother Keyes, would you pray?
Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the marvelous presence of your Spirit that's here right now. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word that has been read in our hearing. We come to this time, God, with reverence and faith. I believe that even now, God, your Spirit will speak. Give utterance to the man of God as he speaks to us. Allow our hearts to be touched by your Spirit to hear and to receive what thus saith the word of the Lord. I pray that lives will be touched and hearts will be changed in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. About a year ago, my granddaughter, in fact, my youngest granddaughter, was going to get married. And she called me one day and she said, Grandpa, I would love for you to be in my wedding. And of course, I like to bust it all the shirt, the buttons off of my shirt. And I said, honey, I'll be there. I'll be in that wedding. And so I began to think, well, I need a new suit for that wedding. And I looked around in the Bay Area, and I didn't find the suit that I wanted. So one day, my wife and I drove down to Kenneth's over here, and I purchased the suit. In fact, it happened to be the one I have on tonight. I always thought he charged me about twice too much for it. But I paid a good price for it because I wanted to wear it to my granddaughter's wedding. And I had this suit for quite a while, and I wouldn't wear it until the wedding. But a few days before the wedding, I got a call from Heidi. And she said, Grandpa, you got to come down and be measured for a suit. I said, well, honey, I just bought a suit. She said, yeah, but that suit won't work. She said, you got to have one of our suits. And I thought, I won't even get to wear my new suit. So I went down and I was measured and they fitted me up in a tuxedo. And when I got to the wedding that night, I was certainly glad that I had on that tuxedo. I would have stood out like a sore thumb if I hadn't had on the wedding garment. Praise God. Can you imagine how this man stood out at the wedding party without the wedding garment on? Praise God. Now, I don't care who you think this man might represent, and I don't care who you think he might be. That's not the part that I want to bring to you. The thing is, he didn't have on a wedding garment. And therefore, we Pentecostal people believe that you've got to have the wedding garment.
Yes.
Praise God. And the wedding garment is a baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise God. Baptized in His name.
Yes.
Speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
Woo! That's the wedding garment.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And if you don't do that, haven't did them things, then, friend, you don't have the wedding garment on.
That's right.
You need to have a wedding garment.
Yes.
Or you're never going to make heaven.
Right. Amen.
Good people.
Yes.
Too good for hell.
Uh-huh.
But not good enough for heaven.
All right.
In the 25th chapter, the book of St. Matthew, we read this. That the 10 virgins, and 5 of them was wise, and 5 of them was foolish. 5 of them taken oil. And we also believe that the oil represents the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
So, in other words, 5 of them had the Holy Ghost. And 5 of them didn't have the Holy Ghost. And when the bridegroom cometh, 5 of them was left. Good virgins. Good people. That went to church. Praise God. But they wasn't good enough for heaven. Friend, if you don't have the wedding garment on, you're never going to enter into them gates. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We have other instances in the Bible that people, good people, in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, there was a group of people, and they told the Lord that, Lord, we have sat in your presence. We've heard you teach. But the Lord said, I don't even know you. Depart from me. This was people that had been in the presence of God. I'm persuaded to believe that I'm speaking to some people tonight that are sitting in the presence of God and still don't have the wedding garment on. And the same thing, if you go before God, will be told to you that was told to these people. Cast them out.
Yes.
Amen. Depart from me.
Depart from me.
Right. Praise God. I want the wedding garment on, don't you?
Yes.
Praise God. Some people come to Pentecostal services, sat in the presence of God, enjoy the preaching of God, and still don't have the wedding garment. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the 10th chapter, the book of Acts, there was a group of people. And one, his name, Cornelius. And the Bible said that he was a devout man. Amen. Then he gave his alms and he prayed. And he paid his tithes. That's a lot more than some of us do. A good man. The leader of a whole band. But he didn't have the wedding garment. And God told him, said, you send and get a Pentecostal preacher, and they'll tell you how to be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Good people! But wasn't good enough for heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm sure that since I have been speaking to you tonight, that there's people that crossed your mind that was good people. You knew there was good people. Amen. But they didn't have on the wedding garment. Now, I know what the Modesto Church believes. I think you still believe the same thing that you believed 13 years ago. And friend, you've got to have the wedding garment on. But good people go to church, wouldn't lie for nothing, wouldn't cheat you, wouldn't curse, they wouldn't do any of them things, but refused to have on the wedding garment. No doubt you know some of them. Praise God. I've known some of them. I've known such good people. I have preached some funerals that were so sad. I had preached funerals of people that didn't have on the wedding garment. It's so hard. It's so hard. When a whole group of people is sitting there, I want you to put them into heaven. And you can't do it because they don't have on the wedding garment. We lived up in Oroville for a few years right after I married my wife. And there was a family moved in next door. And they had a boy about 15, 16 years old. Really a nice boy. I mean, just as good a boy as you ever seen. Charlie wore a good haircut. He dressed right. He done good in school. And Charlie taken a liking to me. And I taken a liking to Charlie. He'd see me out around the place where he would come. And he'd say, are there something I can do for you? Can I help you? Anything you want me to do? Good boy. I don't believe Charlie ever smoked a cigarette. I don't believe he taken any drugs. I don't believe he drank any alcohol. A good boy. And he'd see me, especially one time I was working on my motorhome, polishing my motorhome. Charlie came over and helped me out. And so Charlie and I got to be good friends. We moved away, and we would go back occasionally. My wife's mother and father at that time lived there. And I seen Charlie occasionally. And last time I think I talked to Charlie, he told me he began to work in for the Department of Fish and Game. Charlie was a fisherman and a hunter. And he loved it. And he got a job with the Department of Fish and Game. They worked around his school hours, and he was working for them. We went back and later, and my wife and I was driving to the house, and we passed Charlie. And I said, look, there's Charlie driving his grandpa's pickup. And I don't know whether the first time that Charlie drove it, it's the first time I ever seen Charlie driving his grandpa's pickup. And we honked the horn, and Charlie waved at us. And the next morning, my wife and I went back out to the place, and I noticed a whole bunch of cars around Charlie's house. People out in the yard and standing around. And I want you to know Charlie was a good boy. And I got out of the car, and his aunt come running across to us and said, Brother Dansby, Charlie didn't come home last night. And said, they found the pickup. It was burnt up. There was a body in it. We don't believe it's Charlie. We think somebody stole the pickup. But they were just worshipfully thanking. Through dental records, they identified the body as Charlie. Good boy. I mean, as good a boy as I ever known. But Charlie wasn't good enough for heaven. Praise God. Charlie didn't have on the wedding garment. And friend, you got to have the wedding garment. Praise God. Praise God. What I'm fixing to tell you now really cuts into my heart. My mother lived to be 86 years old, 87 maybe it was. My mother came to the church over on Tuolumne a few times. But all my mother's life, she was a Methodist. I never seen my mother kneel and pray. I never seen her go to the Methodist church. She did come a few times to the Pentecostal church. And I think maybe once or twice was to hear me. But my mother was a good mother. She raised 12 children. I seen my mother do laundry over an old red board and an old kettle with a fire built under it out in the yard. I seen her get up and build fires in an old wood stove, make up bread, put in the oven, and fix breakfast for the whole crew. My mother never permitted her girls, and she had 7 of them, to ever cut their hair as long as they was in her house. My mother never cut her hair. She was in the convalescent hospital, and she couldn't tend to her hair, and there's nobody else. And while none of the children are around, somebody come in and cut her hair. My mother wept over it. My sisters wore dresses way down below their knees. They wore dresses down to their wrists. My sisters could not go to a dance. My sisters couldn't go to a party where that there was music being played. This wasn't a Pentecostal. This was a Methodist person. There was no alcohol permitted in our house. There was no cigarette smoked in my mother's house. My mother was a good woman. She's really too good to go to hell. But Mom didn't have the wedding garment. A good woman. A precious woman. And God don't want you to go to hell. He's prepared a heaven for you. He's prepared a heaven for you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But Mom didn't have the wedding garment. As much as I love her, as good a mother she was to me, Mom wasn't good enough for heaven. Shall we lift our hands and worship the Lord? Praise God. Everybody just lift your hand. I feel like God talking to somebody out there tonight that you don't have the wedding garment on. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to know, friend, that you can have the wedding garment before you leave this place tonight. Praise God. Let's stand. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Surely somebody wants to get the wedding garment. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I wonder who's going to be first tonight to step out. Last Sunday morning, I was preaching to a congregation, and I said, I believe that the first one down to this altar will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And three of them came about the same time, and three of them got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, friend. Woo! God's looking for you tonight. God wants you tonight. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Who else wants the Holy Ghost? Come on. Somebody else needs the Holy Ghost. Come on. I know you out there tonight. I know that you need the Holy Ghost. Come on, as they sing tonight.
This old world can never hold me anymore. Moments will be gone, for I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment.
Oh, come and get the wedding garment.
To the
and
of the
I have
the Holy Ghost
my wedding garment.
God is working right now.
This
is beautiful. This is good.
Can never hold
yes,
me
hallelujah.
Anymore. Men shall be gone.
Others of you.
For
you need the wedding garment.
My consecration.
You need the wedding garment.
Dear Lord, I have
yes.
my wedding garment.
you, God.
I'll be gone.
Give me some altar workers.
For I made my consecration.
Bring somebody
and
with you.
And I have my wedding garment.
Yes.
People, world, you can never hold me anymore.
Yes.
Let's all be gone. And I have my wedding garment on. This old world can never hold me anymore. Then I'll be gone. For I made my consecration. And I have my wedding garment on. Hold me any moment. I'm gonna be gone.